And we're going to jump right into our message here tonight. We have a lot to cover as we put a pretty bow on our series here on how to study the Bible. But I believe that this conclusion to the message here, or the series, is very important as we look at a couple of more truths when it comes to how to study the Word of God and our attitude toward the Word of God. And I'm looking forward, by the way, to our study beginning next week as we look at the battle for the beginning and how the Bible teaches us we need to stand up for the truth of the Bible and why this is an important truth. You know, I've often said from this pulpit, if you have a hard time with Genesis 1:1, you're going to have a hard time with the rest of the Bible. And so why it's so important for us to understand that fundamental truth that God is the creator of all things. Isaiah 55, verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." The Word of God is powerful and purposeful. As it is sent out, it is going to make a difference. Now, we may not see the difference right away, and we might not even see the difference with our eyes, but under the surface, the Word of God is working in the hearts of individuals. In fact, the Bible says, like snow that falls from heaven. Now, I understand snow can be annoying, and I mean, it has to be shoveled, right? But listen, God has a purpose in it. God has a purpose in the snow. The snow is not for no reason or no purpose. And the same is with the Word of God. God's Word impacts the heart. And we already looked at verses to indicate this to be true in the Word of God. It said, the Bible says that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so I encourage each of us to understand the importance of the Word of God. And if we have unsaved family members, or if we have backslidden family members, listen, to our family and our friends, giving the Word of God is so important. Use every opportunity to quote the Word of God, because it is going to make an impact in our life and in the lives of those that we know. So I hope that through the series, this has given you an idea of how to properly study the Bible, to be one who rightly divides the word of truth. And all of the principles and such that I've given you is really just scratching the surface of how to be a Bible student. We first of all begin by observing the text. We're going to look at the passage of Scripture, and we're going to look for words that we don't know or don't understand. We're going to look for verses that jump out at us, or expressions or phrases that get our attention. And then we're going to interpret that Scripture. We want to notice the context. We're going to look for connecting words. We're going to look at the thought and the idea of the passage of Scripture. We want to know what the Bible is saying, and we want to pull the truth from the Bible. That is exegesis. We want to know what the text is saying to us, and then we want to apply that truth to our life each and every day. And so we want to claim the promises. We want to heed the warnings that are in the Bible. We want to follow and obey commands. And we as Christians want to learn to take the high road in our Christian life each and every day. And so as we conclude the study tonight on how to study the Word of God, I want to just give to you a few points. These are not connected in any way, but really just follow-up thoughts to the entire series to help you as we are, again, Bible students. So number one, if you have an outline tonight, I want you to write down, number one, types of Bible study. So I want us to consider, first of all, what kind of Bible studies can I get involved in as a student of the Bible? Where do I begin? And letter A there is book, chapter, and verse studies. Book, chapter, and verse studies. Now, we take a chapter in the Bible, and we can apply this to a verse or to an entire book. Personally, I would begin with a chapter in the Word of God, but we take a chapter in the Bible and we study that entire chapter. All right, here's what we're going to do. And I don't have this in the outline, so you'll have to write this on the side. But first of all, we're going to look for a theme. So we're going to look at a chapter, and we're going to look for the theme of that chapter. And then we're going to give that chapter a title. All right, so we're going to give the theme. What is the chapter about? Obviously, this goes without saying, you're going to read it first, and then you're going to give it a theme, and then you're going to give it a title, and then you're going to create a simple outline. Now, before you say, Pastor Burns, there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to create an outline. Yes, you can. Write it in your own words of what that passage of Scripture, what that chapter is saying. Break it down verse by verse as you interpret the Word of God. What is that chapter saying verse by verse? And you're not just going to create a simple outline. You're going to add to each point supporting Scripture. This is important, okay? So you're going to break it down verse by verse. You're going to create a simple outline. You can jot it in your own words. It does not have to be alliterated. I have in my office, I'll tell you this, I have a book. It's called The Alliterated Bible. It goes from Genesis to the book of Revelation, and the entire Bible is outlined alliterated. It is amazing. I mean, some of the outlines is a stretch. You could tell that when he got to the Z, you know, he was really reaching for words there. But you don't have to alliterate it. You just want to make it simple in your own words so that you can understand what is this chapter saying. When you go through that, you want to know what that chapter is all about. Then you're going to record promises, practical truths, problems that are addressed in the chapter, and words you don't understand or phrases you don't understand. You're going to write all of that down. You're going to ask questions, and then you're going to answer those questions with tools and helps so that you better understand that passage of Scripture. And I gave an illustration here, or I did this for Psalm 23. I'm going to go through this quickly to give you an idea of how we can study a chapter together. Psalm 23, a familiar psalm. It's called the Shepherd's Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a wonderful psalm. And so I broke this down. I called it the shepherd's word in my life, or the shepherd's guide for my life. And the theme of it is, the Lord is my shepherd, and he is guiding me and helping me in this evil world. So you want to put it in your own words. You don't want to get all, you know, commentary now. You just want to write it down as you understand it and apply it to your life each and every day. And so here's my outline. Number one, as a shepherd, he provides my needs. Verse 1. I wrote Philippians 4, verse 19. "But God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And so I'm making a point here of what the Bible says, but I'm also finding other scriptures that support that very truth, and I'm connecting these truths together. As a shepherd, number two, he knows what is best for my life. In verse 2, he says he brings me to wholesome food, he brings me to green pastures, and he makes me, I underline that in my Bible, he makes me to lie down, because God knows, as my shepherd, he knows what I need. And sometimes I don't want to lie down at the green pastures. I want to follow my own lust and my own flesh. But the Lord, as my shepherd, knows the needs of my heart, the true needs of my heart. And so I wrote Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. As a shepherd, he brings me to a place of peace, the wonderful still waters. I wrote Isaiah 26 in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I wrote, as a shepherd, he encourages my soul. He restores my soul, gives me a biblical outlook for my life. And then I wrote Psalm 103 in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all my diseases. And in Psalm 103, it's talking about soul diseases and how the shepherd restores our soul and helps us in those emotional difficulties of our life. As a shepherd, he leads me in spiritual growth for his glory and honor. I wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. As a shepherd, he comforts his people even in the threat of death. Verse 4, you know, I believe that the day comes when we cross over into heaven. There'll be no fear there because the Lord will carry us into the very glories of the Lord. But what brings fear into our life is the shadow of death, the threat of death that is around us. And yet the Bible says that when we face that shadow of death in our life, that we will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord, he's with us. And he's going to give us grace and help us. And I wrote 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? As a shepherd, he will always be with us. Verse number 4 says that the Lord will always be with us. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. And then I wrote, as a shepherd, he ruleth the flock. The Bible says that his rod, it comforts us. And as we look at the idea of a rod, it's the idea of how the shepherd, he rules over, or he directs and guides the sheep. And so the thought here is that the Lord Jesus, as our shepherd, he's in control, and we can trust in him. The Bible says in Psalm 2:9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. As a shepherd, he stills my heart and mind, even when the enemy is near. Yet the Bible says we're going to dine with the Lord. Even when the enemy is at the door, we're going to sit at the table and feast. Yeah, because the Lord's my shepherd, and he is with me to help me. As a shepherd, he soothes his people. The Bible says he anoints us with oil, and at the end of a day, a shepherd would take those sheep, and he would take an oil, and he would soothe the wounds from the thorns and the afflictions of the day, the briars on those sheep. And the Bible illustrates this, that the Lord, he soothes our wounds and gives us grace. That 1 Peter 5:7 says we can cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. As a shepherd, he gives us abundantly. He pours into our life and it overflows. The Bible says our cup overflows. It flows over. The Lord always gives us abundantly. And that's a good study for you, to look at the word abundant or abundantly and how many times it refers to the Lord giving to us. Titus 3:6 says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. As a shepherd, God gives us mercy and goodness each day. You know, there's a wonderful connection here. As we make and allow the Lord to be our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. As we allow the Lord to be our shepherd and we submit to him, what's going to follow us every day? Goodness and mercy. What a wonderful blessing to allow the Lord to lead in our life. And I wrote here 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And as a shepherd, he will bring us home with him one day. Verse 6. The Bible says, then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I wrote here, principles for my life. God is in control. He is always with me. He cares about my needs. He brings me to the places I need to be in my life. I must submit to him. I cannot fight him in my life, and one day I will be with the Lord forever. And so we take a chapter and we break it down, writing a simple outline, and then we're going to look at what the Bible has to say and apply those truths and reminders for our life each and every day. The next letter B here is character studies. And so a character study is when we take a Bible character and we're going to use a concordance. And we're going to look at every time he's mentioned in the Bible, and we're going to study his character. And whether that's good or whether that's bad, we can learn from everyone. We can learn what to do, and sometimes we can learn what not to do. But we can learn. And so we're going to learn the character of an individual. So I'm going to say a name, and our time is gone already. I mean, look at this. I have so much more. Next week we're moving on to creation, so we have to finish this. So I'm going to give you a name, and the first thing that comes to your mind as far as character, I want you to just say it out, okay? David. What's that? Loyal. That's good. Loyal. Yep, absolutely. Paul. We got to be faster, though. We're faithful. Good. Good. What about this one? King Saul. Wise. Disobedient. What about this? Timothy. Loyal. Absolutely. Ruth. More one word, though. But we'll take it. Joseph. Come on, Joseph. Faithful. Faithful. All that he went through. What about this? Peter. Loud. Yeah, that's good. He was loud. You're right. What about this? Nicodemus. Seeking. Good. That's a good one. Seeking. Look at the life of Nicodemus. And look of a man who was seeking the Lord. And so what we can learn from them is so important for our own character. And so there's the list goes on and on of these Bible characters. But we record the lessons we learn about our own life. All right, letter C, word studies. Word studies. Studying the meaning of a word and finding all of the places in the Bible that is found. This can be done with a concordance. You find one word, and you look at all the times that one word is found in the Bible, and you can do a wonderful study. An example would be the word paradise. Paradise. Paradise is used three times in the Bible, just three times in the Bible. And the original word is the root word of the word is from the word garden, and it's a future of happiness. For the believer, Eden comes from that word, paradise. It means delight. And so we find the connection in the Bible between the Garden of Eden and paradise, as mentioned in the Bible, paradise being heaven, the dwelling place of the Lord. In Luke 23:43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Interesting, Paul was carried off to heaven, to paradise, and God said he heard things. He wasn't allowed to tell anyone. He wasn't allowed to let anyone know what was happening in that wonderful place. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 also speaks of paradise. And so I picked this up to take a drink and I put it back down. Take some time and look at some different words and study those words. That's a great way to get into studying the Bible. And then letter D, a topical study. And that is just taking topics in the Bible. And this is also a great way to study the Word of God. There are so many topics. It's unlimited. This is a great way to begin, to pick a topic and to study that topic. Grace, the church, love, kindness, mercy, prayer, tribulation, trials, believe. These are all topics that you can study. Use your concordance. Find when those words are used again and again in the Bible. And compare Scripture with Scripture to study the Word of God and to create your study. All right, number two. How do I respond to verses I don't understand? Wow, this is good. How do I respond when I come to a verse in the Bible that I don't understand? What do I do? Well, here's what you're going to do. First of all, calm down. Calm down. It happens all of the time. Remember this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is connected. In other words, the Bible is one whole book, and it's interlocked together. It's teaching the truths over and over and over again. It means that if you come to a passage of Scripture and it looks like that it's teaching a doctrine that you know it teaches against it or the opposite in another verse, then the reality is it's probably your interpretation that is wrong. Because the Bible is of no private interpretation. It is connecting again and again. In other words, if you look to the verse in the book of Philippians where it says not to look at or to look at another man's things, and you say, well, the Bible's teaching me that I can cheat because I can look at someone else's test or I can look at someone else's quiz, you know that the Bible teaches us in Romans 1:29 that being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Deceit would be to lying, to cheat, to be dishonest. We know that that is against what the Christian is supposed to be. And so we look at that passage of Scripture and say, wait a minute, there's a contradiction here. No, the contradiction is you. The interpretation that you've pulled out is not what the Bible is teaching. And so we need to make sure we look at the right interpretation. And so I'm going to give you some principles here of what we need to look at if it comes to finding the right interpretation. And then when we come to a passage of Scripture, we're not quite sure of what do we do. Letter A, we pray, we read, and we pray again. We pray, we read, and we pray again. The reality is we pray for wisdom about that passage of Scripture. We read it several times. To ensure that we understand the context. Maybe we need to broaden out the context from just a couple of verses to a chapter. Or maybe we take that verse and say, listen, I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to read the entire book now, and I'm going to get a bigger idea of the context. But we pray about it, we read, and we continue to pray and ask God for direction in that passage of Scripture. And let me say this, don't be ashamed to walk away and to come back at a later time. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Letter B is compare Scripture with other Scripture. Use other verses to guide you. Find similar words and meanings from other passages of Scripture that will bring clarity to that Scripture. You know, if you look at the passage of Scripture and you find a word in that verse, then look for other times that word is used in other verses, and that may give you more clarity about the verse. And understanding the purpose of a book or the purpose of a chapter, the theme of that book or the theme of that chapter will also help you to understand what that verse is saying or the meaning or the interpretation of even the chapter or the verse. And then letter C, consider your spiritual growth. Consider your spiritual growth. Now, I'm not being negative here. I'm just speaking here. This could be the reality that you just may not be at the spiritual maturity that this is even an issue for you. And you say, Pastor Burns, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, you don't lecture a toddler how to run until he learns how to crawl. And so at the end of the day, where you are in your spiritual life, this may not be what the Holy Spirit is working in your life about. And so you might just pass by and continue to learn what God is teaching you. You know, the Lord Jesus said this in John 16:12, and I want you to write that down close to letter C, that passage there. John 16, verse 12, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. And so you might be at the place in your spiritual life where, listen, this is not an issue for you. God is not going to reveal this to you because he has other things he's working in your life about. And so don't stress it. Just keep reading and studying the Bible, and God will reveal the truth to you in his timing. Listen, it's more important to obey what you know than stress over what you don't know. It's more important to obey what you know than to stress over what you don't know. Walk in the light that you have, and then God will give you more light. You see, growing in the Christian life is knowing. And you want to continue to grow and to move forward. Being rooted and built up in him is important. And so, listen, it took me several years before I preached through the entire book of Revelation. I took several years. I knew my preaching wasn't where it needed to be. I knew my study wasn't where it needed to be. And I took my time until the Lord said, hey, it's time for you to preach on this passage of Scripture. I think you're at the point where I'm going to help you and you're going to grow through it. And so listen, take your time. The studying the Bible, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You got lots of time. Just take your time and allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. And if you come to a passage of Scripture you don't understand, you know what? Maybe there's other things the Holy Spirit is working on your life about, so you don't have to stress it. Letter D, use trusted supports. Use, and I'm going to bold that word, trusted, because Google is not a trusted support, okay? Use trusted supports. You know, a trusted commentary. One of the principles that I use in my own life, in my own study for using a commentary, I have several commentaries, lots of commentaries. And the principle I use is Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 14. The Bible says that a multitude of counselors, there are safety. And if I, listen, there's one Spirit. We understand that. We all have the same Holy Spirit. And there's one truth and one interpretation of a passage of Scripture. And so if I look at a passage of Scripture and I think, you know what, I believe that this is the interpretation of that Scripture, and I look at, you know, 10 commentaries and all of them say the same thing. A multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so, you know, you got to be aware that it's a trusted commentary, but also you need to be safe in that interpretation and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You may read something and it may, you know, talk about a passage of Scripture. And if you've been around the Bible long enough and you're familiar with Bible teachings and doctrines, then you could hear a passage of Scripture and you might not be able to put your finger on what's wrong, but it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like Bible truth. And so be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and direction as you find the interpretation of a passage of Scripture. And of course, you know what, Brother Marr, myself, we're always here to help. And, you know, we don't have all the answers, but we can help you study it and find the answers. And the answers are there, and so we can help you get to those answers so that you can have those Scriptures and those truths. So let me just give you a couple of thoughts here. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of passages of Scripture that are probably the most common ones that people misinterpret or don't understand. And I'm sure you'll agree with them when I say them. Number one is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. How many people have heard of that teaching? And I know that that teaching is used for lots of different doctrines. It's used to teach that you can lose your salvation. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Now, the problem with that is that people teach this to put fear in the lives of people, where they go around saying, "I don't know if I blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and if I blaspheme the Holy Ghost, I may be in danger of hell fire." And they go through their entire life fearful of those things. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear brings torment, the Bible says, and that is not what the Lord wants to do. But we have to understand the context. And I know my time is up, and I'm going to go through these quickly. But the context is that Jesus is healing, and the Holy Spirit's at work to bring them to Jesus. And what do? They say, this miracle was done by the devil. And Jesus said, you know, why would the devil cast out the devil? That doesn't even make sense. And then he teaches this doctrine. The word blaspheme means to slander. It means to attack. And someone has to have a pretty hard heart, not just to reject the gospel, but to slander and attack the work of the Holy Spirit in their life to bring them to Jesus. That's what the passage of Scripture is talking about. I'll give you a couple stories. When I was growing up, we were told of these stories. And Brother Marr, we talked about this today. In a small town in Nova Scotia, in Sonora, there was a revival that was taking place. People were putting their faith and trust in Jesus. And I mean, people were being saved by the hundreds. I mean, God was doing a great work, and the Holy Spirit was doing a great work. And the story is told of two teenagers. This is a true story. Two teenagers during this revival meetings, these revival times, they walked the aisle. And they walked the aisle as a joke, just for a joke. And they walked the aisle, and as they were going home, they were laughing and slandering and blaspheming. I got saved. Look at this. I got saved. And they were laughing about it. Well, that was their last day upon the earth, because there was a house fire that night, and both of these young men stepped into eternity. And that's a true story. God, the Holy Spirit was at work to save people. Great revival during that time. And listen, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And I'm not saying it always works like that, but I'm saying this, that the Lord takes these things very seriously. When the Holy Spirit's at work to save people, for someone to harden their heart to blaspheme or to slander the Spirit's work to bring them to Jesus Christ. And there's another story of a young man in Port Beckerton. Port Beckerton, that's a real place. Port Beckerton. And it's the same idea, the revival. People were being saved, and he was blaspheming and mocking and saying, oh, to his friends, I got saved, I got saved. And they were on the wharf, on the dock, and he always jumped off of that dock every day. And this day he jumped off as he was mocking and making fun of, you know, so-called getting saved. He jumped off into the water, but he didn't surface again, and he passed away. And so, I mean, these are just, and I'm not saying that's exactly what the interpretation of the Scripture is, but the idea is someone who blasphemes the Holy Ghost, it's not something you're going to do by accident. It's not something that you're going to trip over. It's something that you've hardened your heart toward. These Pharisees had hardened their heart to the work of the Holy Spirit, that they would accredit the miracle of Jesus to the devil himself. That's a hard heart. And so that's a passage of Scripture that people struggle with, but that is the interpretation. And then I want to just talk a little bit about the sovereignty of God for a moment. People get hung up and tripped up about the sovereignty of God, who God uses and why God uses them. Listen, God is God, and He can use whoever He wants to use. That's what we have to understand. God's way is not our way. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, why would God use a king, Cyrus, to do his work? Why would God use a wicked king during Mary and Joseph's time to bring attacks? God can use whomever he wants to use. We call that sovereignty. God is sovereign, and God can use whom he chooses to bring him glory. We have to understand that. We can't get caught up and tripped on that idea. God is God, and He can choose who He wants to use. Now, the book of Hebrews have been known to have some verses that have tripped a lot of people up. The book of Hebrews is a very difficult book, and if you're going to study chapters or books, if it's your first time, don't go to the book of Hebrews, okay? Go to the book of John. Go to the book of John. Or Philippians is a good book to go to. Don't go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, it deals with deep theological. Theological theology is the study of God. Deep theological issues. And we know that God's at work, and we know that God has given us a truth here. And A couple of the verses that people have struggled with is Hebrews 12, verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And it's often taught that either someone can't get saved or someone loses their salvation, that they were saved and they fail of the grace of God. And that's not what the passage of Scripture is talking about. It's actually, believe it or not, talking about bitterness. And it's talking about Esau, how he sought the blessing from his father with tears. You know, it's not talking about seeking the blessing from God. It was he was seeking from his father with tears. And yet the decision was made. It was too late. And he allowed bitterness to consume him. And so the passage of Scripture is God gives you grace to overcome bitterness and anger and malice, because it's a disease of the soul. But if you fail of the grace of God, if you don't allow God's grace to help you to get over those problems, those soul problems, forgiveness in your life, then listen, if you fail of the grace of God, the word fail means to push aside. If you push aside God's grace, then guess what's going to spring up? Bitterness. That's what the passage of Scripture is talking about. You can study it more, but it has nothing to do with someone's salvation. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Oh, this is a juicy one. I mean, people have struggled with this passage of Scripture. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And the problem, they would say, is that if you commit a sin and you don't ask for forgiveness, then you're going to go to hell, even if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And I'll say to them, well, what about all my sins? They were forgiven. And they'll say, well, we're just talking about your future sins. And I say, when Jesus died, all my sins were future sins. I mean, it was 2,000 years ago. And so they'll say, well, you can't willfully disobey or you'll go to hell and you'll lose your salvation. And that's not what the passage of Scripture is talking about at all. In verse 20, it talks about a new and living way. In verse 22, it says that we can draw near to the Lord because of what Christ has done for us, that the temple veil was ripped in two. Why? You know, that separated us from God. And that temple veil was ripped in two, and now we can draw nigh to God. You don't have to pray through a priest. You can pray. You are a priesthood. You can pray directly to Jesus, and he'll hear your prayer. What a wonderful blessing. That veil was ripped in twain, the Bible says. And so the Scripture teaches us here that we can have a relationship with God, that relationship has been bridged, the atonement has been made. And the passage here, when we look at the context, it says to hold fast that profession of faith. Why? Because God has made a promise. And we read in the book of Hebrews that God cannot lie, that when God was going to swear by someone, he swore by himself, because there was no one greater. I mean, when God makes a promise, God always keeps his promise. Now, it would not make sense in a biblical interpretation for God to say he always keeps his covenant and he always keeps his promise and then talk about losing your salvation. Now, that's not how you interpret Scripture, right? You know, we have to know what the Bible says. And so in verse 26, he says, for if we willfully sin after we've received the knowledge of the truth, the full truth, the gospel truth, there is no more sacrifice for sins. What the Bible is saying, it is Jesus or it is nothing. That if you reject Jesus, we just talked about his atonement, we just talked about his promise. If you reject Jesus Christ as the atonement for your sins, then there is no more sacrifice. There is no more way. There is no other eternal life. It is Jesus or it is eternal damnation. And this is what the Bible is teaching. And now we can start talking about those that reject the truth. He continues to talk about those who have made that decision, who have rejected the Lord Jesus. So that's some passages of Scripture that are difficult. And you know what? We just, if you come to a passage you don't understand, you say, well, it sounds like a contradiction. Listen, just pause, relax, calm down. Maybe it's not where you ought to be. Maybe God has something different. Continue on. If God's going to teach you that truth, then God's going to give it to you again in a different way. And so, listen, we can look at some helps and some study helps but the truth is there as we study the Word. And then number three, we'll go quickly through this. Begin studying the Bible today is number three. As we end this series, I want to say begin studying the Bible today. Even if you don't feel like it, do it because it's right and the feelings will follow. Right? There are things in our life that we don't want to do. Sometimes we wake up in the morning, we don't want to go to church. We don't want to go to work. But we do it because it's right. And the feelings follow as we do what is right. And so, listen, put in the effort, make the time, and you'll be rewarded as you study the Bible. Letter A, start small and expand. Start small and expand. Don't say, I'm going to study through the book of Leviticus this month. That's not very smart. Right? If this is your first Bible study, then start with a word study. Start with a character study. Start with a one-verse study. Study John 3:16 and outline it and break it down and find supporting scripture. But start. Start small and expand. If you start large, you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to give up. So start a small study. Start on love. The book of Philippians is a wonderful book, easy to interpret. Look at the book of Philippians. Study through it. The book of John, wonderful passage of scripture. Number, letter B here, record everything. Record everything. And I can't stress this enough. Listen, if you're studying the Bible, record it. Put it down. This is going to help you in time. You're going to use this. Record promises, what you personally learned in your Christian life, changes you've made in your life because of the Word of God. And you can look back on these journals for encouragement and help. And as you connect Scripture with Scripture, you're able to look at these passages of Scripture. When I begin a sermon, especially a topical sermon, the first thing I do in my Bible software is I have all my sermons in categories and they're all databased. I type in that topic. And all the sermons, every time that topic, all these sermons will populate, and I can go through these and find scriptures and thoughts. And so, listen, don't just study for no reason. Study with purpose. Write it down and use it. Record everything. I think I wrote that twice, didn't I? I think it's record everything. Is that right? No, record everything. See, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Study the Bible takes work. But it should be fun and exciting. You know, if you're going on a treasure hunt and you're digging for that treasure, that's fun and exciting, right? You're digging for treasure. You're digging for God's eternal truths. And so it should be exciting as well. And then D, measure progress, not pages. Measure progress, not pages. Studying the Bible isn't about how many pages of the Bible you get through in one day. It's about learning about God and yourself. And if you only study one verse and you learn eternal truths that will help you to be closer to the Lord, then that's a successful study, okay? If you're just reading to check it off, and listen, I'm not against reading through the Bible. I think you should read through the Bible. I think it helps you when it comes to context. You know, I never quite understood the Bible until I read through the entire Bible from cover to cover and understood that, yeah, it is one book. It has one topic. And so you should do that. But when you study topics and you study chapters and you study scriptures, you know, you measure the progress of your spiritual growth and not the pages. And then expect, letter E, expect spiritual attack. At the end of the day, the devil doesn't want you to know truth. And he doesn't want you to read the Bible. He doesn't want you to spend time to pray. And so you can expect attack from the devil. You say, well, I didn't have time to study my Bible today. Of course you didn't. I mean, nobody has time to study their Bible. That's why we have to make time to study our Bible. And we need to add it into our life each and every day. Because if we just go by what time we have, the devil will just keep throwing things into our life so that it crowds it out. But it's important. And so study the Bible today. It's a wonderful, wonderful treasure. And I know this, if you live to be 110 years old, and you study the Bible for hours and hours every day, really it's just a gnat going to an ocean of truth. I mean, you don't even, you're just skimming the surface of what this book can offer you. It's such a wonderful book, and so invest in it, and you'll be glad that you did. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful blessing we had to look at your word and to learn how to study these wonderful truths. And Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for your word, and it's in our hands that we can study it. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do so. Lord, I pray that you would give us truths to help us to be more like you. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done in our life and that you will continue to do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together, What's Trust and Obey?